Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Our good friend Billy Brim is here from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and she's sharing some marvelous things for us. We're in an exciting time. We're going to live all out for God. We're going to go just take out the stops and do whatever He tells us to do. In this hour. And welcome, Billy. We're so glad you're here.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for believing God and being faithful and believing Him for the money.
Praise God.
I know it takes money to have this great voice in the earth.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I know you've had to believe for it.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank you for doing it. You and
God is able.
And yes.
And willing.
And willing. And you believing. And you learned how to do it.
We did.
How to believe Him for it.
Believing for food on the table.
I know you started with believing for food on the table.
That's right.
And now we're putting some food on the spiritual table
all over the world. Hallelujah.
And the Lord has told me recently that He's got to have us.
Praise God.
We're going to talk next week about what God needs.
Oh, that'll be good.
He has needs. And you're it. And He needs your voice. And He needs your faith.
Amen.
And He gave you a language if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues.
Yes.
So that you could pray His will into the earth.
Amen.
And so we've been talking a little bit about the history. There was the outpouring, the former rain outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And the evidence was they spoke with tongues.
That's right.
And then at the beginning of the 1900s, He poured out the baptism with the Holy Spirit again. It eventually became the Azusa Street Revival because it had been lost from the earth. But now, you know, in those early days of the Pentecostal move from the Assemblies of God archives, I got Confidence magazine copies. Mm. And this was put out by a minister in England, and it was in his parsonage, his manse, that Wigglesworth received the Holy Ghost. And so that minister put out a paper. They knew everybody in the earth that was baptized the Holy Ghost. They would put a little article in there. Today, we got word that 6 people in Syria are baptized the Holy Ghost. And they kept a track of it. Now, there's millions of us all around the world.
Yeah.
And God has put out a call for us to unite in prayer.
Praise God.
And to unite praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues with no agenda. And throughout this week, I've been telling you what He told me about it. He needs us to dedicate a 30-minute period out of our lives each day in which we sit before Him and we say, "Here I am. Give me the utterance." And you pray in tongues. And you're praying the mysteries, the plans of God. We'll talk about that next week as well.
Wow.
So this week, I've been talking about when God got that back into the earth. It came primarily in the middle of the country in Topeka through Brother Charles Parham and his Bible school. And eventually they got that message down to Houston, and the one-eyed black preacher, Brother Seymour. Then he took it out, and in 1906, April, they had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit there. But before they came from Kansas down to Houston, they preached all the way and they had miracles. I happen to know Brother Parham's daughter very well, Pauline Parham.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me a lot of stories. And then they had a daughter. She was the wife of Brother Parham's only son. They had a daughter, Bobby Romas, who still lives today. Wonderful, very successful saint of God. And Pauline and I would, Bobby and I would ask Bobby's mother, Pauline, "Didn't you write down any of the miracles y'all had? And didn't you write a book?" And she said, "We were too busy. Couldn't write it down.
Didn't have time."
And so they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they started having meetings, some of them tent meetings. And she said, she gave us an example. And they would all dress in white. It was mainly young people. And the young people would dress in white, white trousers, white shirt, white skirts. And they would go out in the daytime, knock on doors, invite people to the meeting at night, wherever they were going to have the meeting. Maybe Galena, they're going to have a tent meeting. And Pauline said, "We took turns staying at home, cooking. Somebody would cook, and the team would come in and eat lunch and then rest in the afternoon. And it was my day to wash and iron cook." And there came a knock on the door, and there was a woman, and she had her 14-year-old daughter in her arms. And the 14-year-old daughter was dead. And she said to Pauline, a young girl at the time, she said, "You advertise that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he raised the dead in the Bible.
Mama.
And I want him to raise my daughter, and I don't want the coroner to find her before she gets raised, because I want her raised." So Pauline said, "Well, lay her there on the sofa, and the team will be in here in a minute." So she laid her out there. Pauline went on with her ironing. And in came the team. And they laid hands on that little girl, 14 years old, and she raised up from the dead.
Glory to God.
And she had lunch with them. And then she went that night and gave her testimony at the tent meeting.
Right.
So you could imagine what kinds of meetings that they have.
Glory to God. Is that in the book?
No, she didn't put it in a book.
Oh, my, my.
She didn't ever get a book written, as far as I can tell.
Well, you'll have to put it in a book.
And, really, Bobby should do it. I'll have to ask her if she's done it. But those people, with that
they
happening.
They need to hear about things.
I know we have to hear it. With that happening, they came up through Tulsa area. And that's where my grandparents, my great-grandparents, the Pickards, Isaac and Carrie, that we talked about yesterday, that's where they were living. And so when they came up there, and I told you about how Ike Pickard went into town and he came in contact with the Pentecostals, and he was a former drunk, but then he stayed drunk in the Holy Ghost. Well, he and his wife lived out on that farm south of Coweta. My daddy was born, and his father died just the week he was born. So his great-grandparents had a lot to do with bringing him up. And he told about life with them and the Pentecostals, the early day Pentecostals. And he said, they would go to meetings. He's just a little boy. He'd sleep under the pews. And he said everybody would preach, and they'd have the meetings way early in the morning. And there was Brother Benny somebody, and they couldn't wait till he preached, because when he preached, he'd run up and down the altar, and he would run off the end of the altar and dance in the middle of the air and then run back on the altar.
Oh, mercy.
So they loved to hear him. Yeah. I think his name was Benny Ketchum. I'm not sure.
Benny Ketchum.
Yeah, but he preached, and they loved to watch him.
I guess.
There's something happening all the time at the churches. And so, but Daddy said, in that family with Carrie and Ike Pickard, the emphasis was on prayer.
Now, that's your relative,
that's
right?
My great-grandparents.
What a
And
heritage.
Out on their farm, they had a great big deep canyon, and the Pentecostals would come out there because one night they went to church, and there was a chicken with an axe through its throat and a note under the axe that said, "If you don't stop this devilish things, this is going to be you if you don't stop meeting." Well, they didn't stop meeting, praise God, and now it's all over the world. Mm-hmm. But out there on that, they had that great big deep canyon, and they would pray, and if they got happy and loud, they could be happy on that farm, or they got a burden and they travailed, that would be fine. The wintertime, they moved into my grandparents' house. But Daddy said the thing that he remembered most was how they prayed. They believed, Gloria, that they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and given this language in order to pray about the mysteries of God.
Praise God.
And they believed that they were to pray about God's work until Jesus comes. And Daddy said at the table, his grandpa would pull out a chair and he'd say, "Everybody kneel at your chair and let's pray."
What a heritage.
And their prayers were long, and the food always got cold. And there are a lot of stories. I have some more stories in this book about them praying. But in that early day move of God, they believed that they got this language so that they could pray. Now, I'm not going to go into how all it happened, but my dad's third generation. And I think because of maybe persecution, other things, didn't affect Carrie and Ike. But then second and third generations, my daddy raised us in a denominational church.
A tremendous amount of persecution.
I never knew about all of that. I knew about Grandma Pickard. Grandpa Pickard died before I was born. But Grandma Pickard lived until I was a freshman in high school. I knew her well. And we lived in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And she lived down in Coweta, Oklahoma. And she would come up to Broken Arrow to go to meetings because they had good Holy Ghost meetings there. And she didn't get in until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And she'd climb in bed with me. That's where she slept.
I think our services were long.
And I remember hearing her in the nighttime, "Hallelujah. Glory be to God." And then she'd pray in this strange language. And I remember getting up on my elbow and looking at her. And she was asleep. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then tongues.
While she was sleeping?
While she was sleeping.
Wow.
So now she's Carrie Pickard from the Azusa Street, pre-Azusa Street. So every Sunday when I lived in Broken Arrow, and now she's my great-grandmother and she's up way up in years, we drive down to her daughter's house, my grandmother, my grandma Cody. We get out of church at our denominational church in Broken Arrow. We drive 9 miles to Coweta. Grandma's usually got chicken and dumplings. We eat chicken and dumplings. After the meal, they're always talking. They're in discussion. And they have two subjects that often come up around this dinner table. Politics or religion. The Sunday that sticks out in my mind, it was religion. And Grandma Pickard, the Pentecostal grandma, she didn't get home from church till about 2 o'clock. We're already through with the meal and we're talking. She comes in, she got a little ice bucket because she had an ice box out in her house. She lived in a little house behind Grandma and Grandpa, little two-room house with an ice box.
Blocks of ice.
But Grandma had a refrigerator. So Grandma Pickard, great-grandma, would come in with a little wooden ice bucket, get her out some ice cubes, and go back to her house. This Sunday, she comes in there. We're talking about I'm just a kid. I'm 12 years old. And I always listen to the old folks. I like to hang around them, hear what they talk about. And they're talking religion. And they're all denominational. My dad's sisters smoke. And they're probably smoking. But, you know. So anyway, here she comes in. And they're talking religion. And she says this concerning the denomination we were. And she had a little bony finger. She was a bony little person. She said, "You all are all right as fur as you go, but you just don't go fur enough."
She had it figured
but
out.
"But one of these days," she said, and she started dancing, "you're going to see the light." She danced all over that room. She started laughing in the Holy Ghost. Now
you remember this.
Yes, I remember it like it planted in me. And she danced out the back door. Not a person said a word. None of them explained to me what happened.
Speechless.
Nothing. I just saw this. "One of these days you're going to see the light." Bless the Lord. So I remember my great-grandma Pickard. And I remember these things happening, though I was raised denominational. Now in 1965, here I am. I'm raised up in this denomination. I know I'm called to preach since I was 3 years old, but this denomination says women can't preach.
Since you were 3 years old?
3 years old. I used to get leaves and preach. I'd go visit my other grandma who lived in the city, Muskogee, and I would get leaves. She lived in an apartment house, lots of kids. I'd gather them up, preach to them. So I knew I was called to preach, but my denomination said women can't preach.
Yeah.
So in 1965, think of it, 1965. I'm in quite of a state. I teach a Sunday school class. I play the piano in our denominational church every Sunday. By this time, 1965, we moved to Collinsville, Oklahoma. And I'm in this state. And a college friend that I knew in college lived across the hall from me called me. And she said, "My husband and I live in this town. We want to run around with you and Kent." He was a football coach. So she said to me later, she said, "Don't y'all go to church? I've never been to church except for a funeral. I want to sing in the Christmas cantata."
Well.
Well, it was hard to get you into the Christmas cantata, but I pulled some strings and did it. I was a pianist. She came, got born again.
Praise God.
I went under condemnation because I knew to witness to people. I never had witnessed to her. So she calls me, and about 3 weeks later, she says to me, "You know what I'm going to do next?" No, it was two or 3 months later. "What are you going to do?" "I'm going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speak with tongues." "Oh, no, you're not," I said. I hadn't gotten her born again, but I was going to keep her straight. I said, "That is of the devil." She says to me, "If it's of the devil, why is it in the Bible?"
That was a good question.
I said, "I don't know." But I said, "Give me some time here, and I'll figure it out." So I started reading the Bible.
You were going to save her.
I was going to save her. Now, the reason why I thought it was the devil, it was charismatic move days. We were losing a lot of people out of our denomination. And our denominational paper came out once a month from Oklahoma City, and it said, speaking in tongues is of the devil. I didn't put two and two together with Grandma Pickard. No, no. I just, denominational paper.
Took their word for it.
So anyway, I got a telephone call from Allie Honeyegger. Do you remember her?
Oh, yeah, sure.
She's the wife of Doc Honeyegger in our little town. She said, may I come and visit you? She's a doctor's
wife. Now, this would be what?
1967. 1967. Think of it.
Way
1967,
back.
April. And so she calls me and she says, may I come visit you? I don't really know her. But I said, sure, come on. I go and answer the door, and there's this tall, thin woman, and she's got this big old huge Wallensack recorder on her knee. This is BC, even before cassettes.
Big reels.
7-inch reels.
Mm-hmm.
She carries that big thing in there. She plops it down on my coffee table. And she said, I came to play a tape for you.
What's the tape?
What is this? I have no idea what is play a tape for you. We don't know about tapes. And so she puts it on my coffee table. She punches push start. And here comes this voice, Texas voice. It's Kenneth E. Hagin. And he's preaching on the Father's care.
Oh, yeah.
John 17, that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm telling you, by the time that tape was through, I was sitting on the floor literally crying. She moves right in for the kill. She says, Mrs. Brim, don't you think that before you convince Mrs. Martin, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of the devil? Aha, now I know why Mrs. Martin's so smart. Don't you think before you convince Mrs. Martin the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of the devil, you should know more about it? Yes, I really should. She said, this man's having a seminar next week in Tulsa, and I'm going to take you and Mrs. Martin.
Now, that would have been when?
April 1967.
Were we in
you
that
were
seminar?
There.
Yeah. Maybe that was our first seminar.
I think it was the first one. 1029 North Utica. There's brother and sister Goodman, and there's Brother Hagin, and they're teaching people. It's charismatic days. Mm-hmm. And they just go into the Word. They go into Acts chapter 2. They go into all the Scriptures which talk about tongues.
See,
and the 67
was when we moved to Tulsa.
Yes.
We just had gotten there.
You had just gotten there.
God got us.
You were there in your little car tied together, I say, with bailing wire, you know.
Yeah, it was a miracle.
You were there.
It was a miracle car.
It was a miracle that we got there. The room would seat about 150. Yeah. It was cram-jammed. And there we were sitting, and they'd teach us every day, spoon food. Mm-hmm. Spoon feed out of the Bible, spoon feed, spoon feed.
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday, I went to the back, and Brother Hagin and Mrs. Hagin laid hands on me and on Mrs. Martin, my friend I was going to save, and another deacon's wife out of our church, Winona Standridge, and we got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I went off like a fountain.
And you've never been the same
since? Never been the same since. I called my mother, denominational. Now, she's not from the Pentecostal side. Mom, I told her the good news. It wasn't good.
She didn't care
for
that.
No, she didn't like it. I said, Mother, I said, it's in the Bible. When I see you, I'm going to show you. And I said, I'm not going to get mixed up with these Pentecostals' error. I'm not going to wash off all my makeup and grow my hair long and get a bun. But Mother, where they're right, I'm going to join with them. And I said, Mother, I promise you, I won't listen to any women preachers. What do you know? The next few days he brings in a woman preacher.
Was it Sister Grace?
Sister Clara Grace.
Oh, my.
A prophetess to boot. If he'd have said she's a prophetess, I'd have run.
Yes.
And she preached. She was 75 at the time. She lived many more years. But she dressed like she was 75. I'm past 75, but I don't dress like that. You know, she had a little bun, had a little clothes.
Well, I was trying to think of the other day of the prophecy that.
Yeah, I'm going to talk
so
about that. Sure.
Okay, good.
Okay, now, here
mind.
She said. Here she's preaching with the office of a prophet.
A woman.
The room filled with God. I said, that's one of the best preaching I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And she's out of order. but maybe she'll be, when she gets the judgment seat of Christ, she'll be on the level with the men preachers who were not faithful. I figured it out. So anyway, 11 years later, I was working for Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin Ministries. And the Lord said, why don't you go get the tape and listen what she said. Here's what she said. Do you know why you're here from the north, the south, the east, the west? You were from Fort Worth. I was just from up the road. She said, it's because God is raising up His end-time army. And you are some of the chiefs of the clan. If you would have thought God, those were the chiefs of the clan, you would have had prayer for God.
Yep.
Here we were, charismatics.
Now, that was in that Sheridan Assembly.
That was in 1029 North Utica, Brother Hagin's office. You remember that little bitty old room?
Yeah.
And we were writing in our Bibles for the first time because Brother Hagin told us we could. And she said, because you are going to be some of the chiefs of the clan, I am released to tell you a vision I had. And she had a vision of the last days of the church. And she saw the church lying down flat, immobile, weak. She saw a glory beyond a veil. She saw heads coming through from the other side. She saw people here in the glory, going through the veil. They became a group and amalgamated, and they ministered to that church that was so down, and it stood upon its feet and became the glorious church.
Praise God.
That the Bible talks about. The Holy
Ghost. I remember
that
well. My Sister Grace, glory to God. I'm telling you, people, we got a great heritage behind us, and those things came, that truth began to come out.
Yes.
Piece at a time. Till finally we got it.
Finally we got it. Praise the Lord.
Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.